Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello again, hockey fans. Are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen? Brave the Wild is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, and I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. Brave the Wild is also on the Hockey Podcast Network. I thank Dylan and Kyle once and always for having me on board that Hockey Podcast Network. Really appreciate it so very much. Thank you out there for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. The sky is kind of, you know, I always like to talk about what the sky looks like as I start off, don't I? Kind of gray, well, very gray, but not like completely overcast. You can see a little sun poking out, kind of like the wild situation going into the trade deadline here. Yep, unfortunately, the trade deadline has not happened yet. It is right around the corner here tomorrow, locally here in the Central Time Zone, 2 p.m., if I'm saying that correctly. Well, the only move the Wild have made since last week leading into this trade deadline so far is signed Zach Bogosian to a two-year, $2.5 million contract. We'll get to that in a second. But also, Minnesota Wild this past week pretty much reemphasized that they are not a playoff team this year, going 1-2. Again, further emphasizing why the Wild are not a playoff team. Because, well, here we go. It's the team that we have to, overcome in order to make the playoffs. You head to Nashville and get trounced 6-1. I mean, if that's not game over, I don't know what is. Yep, well, and the Wild, the best part is the Wild opened up the scoring. Isn't that great? It's so meaningful. Well, I'm glad we scored in the game. I'm glad we didn't get shut out. Connor Dewar, again, raising that trade value. Dewar, Duhame, Ryan Hartman. And this does bring up a topic more so. I'd like this to be more and more topical than just game reviewy. Who's going to review a 6-1 game other than the Wild no-showed? Outside of Connor Dewar scoring that goal early, everybody no-showed from the goaltender to the defenseman to the forwards. Philip Gustafson, another sucky game, giving up 6 goals, almost just barely above 80% save percentage and 31 attempts. Well, shots on goal, not attempts. There's a difference by the Nashville Predators. Brock Faber apparently has been playing hurt, which, you know what I mean? Brock Faber's playing hurt. Like, I don't know, sit him down a game or two, depending on how serious it is. So that's an explanation as to why Brock Faber has not been as good, other than obviously getting worn down and not used to the NHL schedule because, well, before this season, he was a college player, and that's it. College players don't play 82 games, you know? So there's that. Though he was probably playing around this time of year, but still, he didn't have this many games played at this time of the year last year when the Gophers were hoping to win a national championship, and they ended up losing in overtime in the championship game, much to my absolute chagrin and many others. Rossi was active. He got 6 shots on goal. That's good. Connor Dewar, 7 wins, 1 loss in the faceoff circle. He was easily the best player in the game, which now I'm going to get to the topic that I wanted to get into here. So obviously Connor Dewar and Brandon Duhame are very possibly going to get traded between now and the next episode, and maybe, just maybe, depending on what happens, they might record something Friday or Saturday night, maybe a brief like trade deadline, like, you know, response. But if it's just like one deal and it's not that big of a thing, I'll probably just wait till next week's show. But I might have a miniature little trade deadline special. That's just a rumor, though. It's just a rumor, you know. I can't confirm or deny. So, Dewar and Duhame, right? Versus Hartman and Foligno. Honest to God, who would you rather have? Who would you rather have at the price and the age and all that stuff? you got to factor that stuff in. I mean, people might be like, oh, come on, Hartman and Foligno over versus Tour and DeHaim. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. I wouldn't want to give Dewar and DeHaim $4 million a year, but I don't want to give Ryan Hartman Marcus Foligno $4 million a year either. That's the whole point. The whole Mickey frickin' point. Wish we could come into a point where, you know, I would rather have Connor Dewar, not just at 800, but even $2 million. Like, you give him a raise. Brandon DeHaim, $2 million. $2 million each. How about that? Half the price of those two other guys. And, well, let's see, how old is Connor Dewar? 24, Brandon DeHaim's 26. He's not that young, but let's see, Ryan Hartman is 29. Okay, it's just 3 years older than DeHaim, but that's fine. And Foligno, well, we have to go way down into the injured area. Isn't that great? 32, yep. Feels like he's older than that, but yeah, 32 years of age, and he signed until the summer of 2028. I know I talk about it every frickin' show, and you're sick of it, but he signed until the summer of 2028, though. Spelled completely, not T-H-O. I don't do that. Sorry, I just don't. he signed until 2028. These other guys, again, restricted free agent and Connor Dewar. Again, odds are, again, they don't have plans to bring him back. But, you know, if I could, freedom and all that, such freedom in the lineup and such, like instead of committing to Ryan Hartman, that's the whole point. I'd rather bring back Dewar at like 2.5 even. I don't know, 2.5 might seem a little excessive for Dewar, but here's the thing. Dewar has been reduced to the fourth line pretty much his whole career. But when he's given opportunities, he doesn't disappoint you, does he? He really doesn't, actually. Brandon DeHaim, the one thing with him is, he gets hurt a lot. And, yeah, I mean, he would, again, like one assist in like a calendar year. But, again, the lack of opportunities as well. Like if you were, you know, sitting on the bench all the time, maybe you're this wide receiver with a lot of talent and stuff, like in the NFL, but they throw the ball to you like twice and you're on the bench like, you know, I don't know, two-thirds of the game. Maybe you're not going to get like, you know, 11 touchdowns and you know, 1,300 yards. You're going to wind up with like something close to like, I don't know, yeah, you get thrown to twice a game. You're going to get maybe... You'd be lucky to get 400 yards and like a touchdown or two. You know what I mean? But you're actually talented enough to probably get 13, maybe not 13 in Dewar's case, but and DeHaim, but, you know, close to 1,000 and like 8 touchdowns. I think they would be competitive players in the if given more opportunities. Middle six versus, I'm not talking top line here. No. Absolute best second line on occasion here and there, but power play opportunity sometimes, obviously penalty kill. Dewars is one of the best players on the team in the penalty kill, and, well, he actually wins in the faceoff circle, too, sometimes, unlike a lot of players on this roster. So that's kind of, in a lot of ways, the lead topic of this episode. I'd rather keep the Dewey brothers versus Foligno and Ryan Hartman. I know people are like, really? Yeah, really. I would. Let's see, what does Foligno do? He fights and stuff? He fights and stuff. What does DeHaim do? He fights and stuff. And he scored some, and he has some scoring ability in DeHaim's case, and so does Foligno have some scoring ability, but he fights and stuff, you know what I mean? And then you have Hartman, who can, you know, occasionally win in the face-off circle. He's a center, which is a valuable position. Penalty kill, he's rugged and solid, this and that, but he also gets you dumb penalties all the time, and so does Foligno, by the way. DeHaim's capable of that at half the price. Yeah, you can get the dumb penalties and the fights, and, you know, standing up for teammates at half the price in DeHaim's case. Maybe even less than that, because I would actually probably be more committed to, if I could only pick one, I would pick Dewey. Well, Dewey. I would pick Dewar, because they're both Deweys, right? I'd pick Dewey. I'd pick the Mario Brothers. No, you have to pick one. I would pick, if it's the younger one, that's Connor Dewar, of course. That'd be Luigi. I'd pick Luigi. I'd pick Connor Dewar. Obviously, the more important position. When you give him opportunities, he doesn't disappoint you. That's kind of where I look at that. And now you've brought back Mason Shaw, which is wonderful, and he's done a good job since he's been back, including that touchdown pass to Kirill Kaprizov in his hat trick game versus the Sharks, where we, you know, it was a fish Friday or Saturday. It was a fish fry, kind of. Of course, they, well, bludgeoned us quite a few times while we were trying to catch the Shark. Wasn't a very easy catch. They chopped us up a little bit. We got some wounds. We got some gaping wounds in our sides and our arms and such. It's not pretty. But we won. We beat the Sharks. Yeah, we beat the Sharks. More like we beat the crappies. More like that. And the crappies bit the heck out of us along the way, too. And they broke the fishing line. And they broke the... And then the rod doesn't work anymore. The reel's all messed up. Because, yeah, they're just so tough. You know, they're tough. I guess they're tough against us. Makes you feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside, doesn't it? To know that the Sharks played a competitive game against the Wild. But we got the win, you know, because we sustained their best. We sustained their best. That's what we did. Speaking of guys I'd like to keep around, Declan Chrisom. Yes, I'd like to keep Chrisom. Yes. Restricted free agent with the hammer. You know what that means. That means arbitration eligible, which sounds very familiar with Connor Dewar and Randy Duhaime. I believe Duhaime was that he was going through that arbitration type of nonsense. He likes it here, and he's been on a podcast, not mine, unfortunately, but I'm not around, dang it. I don't get to be around as much as other people because my schedule's not the greatest. It's not the greatest schedule, unfortunately. I swear if I had a completely different schedule, let's just say I'd be around more. I'd probably have more to offer, unfortunately, which, again, I know it's probably really bad for me to even say that out loud here, but it is what it is. Alex Goligoski, we don't have to worry about him much longer. Merrill, if Vancouver's interested, which we hear in the rumors, oh, please, for heaven's sakes, cash considerations. Like, just give us a $5 bill. You know, we might be able to get an original chicken sandwich at Burger King. It's okay. And I'm not trying to be a jerk to John Merrill. It's funny, though, the analytics make John Merrill actually look good. And the whole, you know, like, goal, I forget what the heck they called it. Ugh, doggone it. Yeah, Seth Tubal was talking about that on Locked On Wild. Yep, so shout out to you, Seth. I forget what the heck they called it. Doggone it. But, I mean, it's a... it's like a goals stat, like goals for versus goals against type of thing. It's funny, you know, and it's about pairings and such, where Middleton in the most cases was always in the super positive area, but he has obviously scored the most goals for any defenseman on the Wild this year. Jake Middleton, of course, and of course he's that good rugged defenseman, 28 years of age at this stage. People are talking about trading him, which, okay, I mean, it depends on what you can get back, but I understand the thought process there. He's a free agent in 25 as you head into the improved salary cap situation. That is kind of the main topic of this episode, more so than game reviews. You know, I mean, seriously, like, we scored one goal versus Nashville. We got thrashed. Thrashville. Not Smashville or I guess it is Smashville because we got smashed. Yeah, but Goligoski, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Maybe he could be a scout or something for us. And, yeah, okay. I mean, maybe he can be if he really is interested. Maybe he's not interested at all and he'd rather do something completely different, kind of like Jordan Leopold, who's about as involved in hockey as Anthony Edwards is with the Timberwolves. Pretty much about as much. That's why it's like, he's like, oh, I didn't watch it. Like, okay, then why are you on the show? I always got a kick out of that. I didn't watch any of them. Too busy doing this other thing. You know. Okay, dude. Sorry. Sometimes when I hear that kind of stuff, I just roll my eyes. Ugh. Like people would die to be on the show, and you don't give a crap. Ugh. Anyhow, who am I talking about? John Merrill going to the Vancouver Canucks. Yes, I mean, name one person who'd be against that. Maybe Bill Guerin. I don't know. I don't know. Yes, Bill, please. Yes, you do know. And hopefully that's the one indicator with the Zach Bogosian signing, that he does have some kind of a plan here of moving certain defensemen, out the door. Because you now committed to Zach Bogosian to, well, $50,000 more per season than John Merrill, basically. So, okay, $50,000. Yeah, that's like five seats these days. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud? Yes, and he's 33 years of age. He's from the state of New York. But the thing is, he's a professional defenseman. That's where I'm not, like, irritated by it so much other than, well, spots on the roster. Because, obviously, Declan Chrisom if I'm saying it correctly, Chrisom. I don't want him going anywhere. I like him. I like him. I do. Dakota Mermis might be the captain of the Iowa Wild or something like that, one of the captains of the Iowa Wild. Or he might get an opportunity with the St. Louis Blues or the Ottawa Senators or NHL team du jour. So good luck with Dakota Mermis one way or another. We may re-sign him because I think he did a pretty good job with us. I can't believe he's 30. Dakota Mermis is 30 years old. 30. 775 this past year. Wouldn't be surprised if he got a mill, like a cool mill or 950 or something like that for, you know, some kind of a extension. Would it be a two-way type of deal? Or is it, will it actually be an NHL contract with somebody? I don't expect anything longer than a two-year deal with Dakota Mermis, whether it's Minnesota or the St. Louis Blues or, you know, whoever. The Colorado Avalanche. Yeah, sure. I don't know about that. But I don't know. Sometimes it's like, yeah, they're really top-heavy, but I don't know why I'm getting into the Avalanche right now. I guess we'll talk about them at some point coming up. Are they on today's show? I think I don't remember. Yeah, we got the four games coming up, but two of them against Nashville. So, yeah, we'll get to that in a moment as we switch from Feb to March. That was the last game. Yeah, it is Colorado. That's right. Yep, tomorrow. Okay, that's who it was. That's what I thought. I thought we were playing the Lance this week. Of course, my nephews are in Colorado with, yes, you may have heard this name before. David Kostyuk, that would be, of course, with Minnesota Wild Global. Yep, he's on Minnesota Wild Global. Obviously, follows the Wild all over the place. You know, huge North Star fan and Wild fan and all that. So, obviously, he's my brother's father-in-law. So, yes. So, yeah, he's taking my nephews, or took my nephews already over there. They're having a heck of a time looking at all the incredible scenery in Denver or Colorado in general. So they're going to the Lance game. Pretty cool. So huge shout out, just in case, one in a million chance any of them are listening, which is kind of sad but true. I can't even get family to listen. I appreciate those of you that do listen out there, though. But that is kind of the sad truth. I know some family members listen, though, somewhere. So hello to you. Some do, some don't. They're on and off, you know what I mean? Yes. Yes, my nephews Max and Alex. Alex and Max, Max and Alex. They are twin brothers. Yes. February 10th, 2005. Yes. So pretty cool stuff. Yeah, we do. We work together in the lawn service as well. I'm 16 minutes into this episode already. Wow. Well, I'm definitely not doing game reviews, am I? Well, why would I do that anyway? Merit Huznadinov, I believe they're just about done, though, with the whole visa situation. It's easier said than done, the paperwork, this and that. Russo said something about that he should be ready for the Arizona game. I don't think that's today. I'm guessing that's the next one coming up, so that's Tuesday. And that makes more sense. And also, I guess March 8th is when, yeah, that's obviously when the rosters can be expanded, that type of thing. That'd be tomorrow, the trade deadline. So the Wild don't have to trade away Connor Dewar or Brendan Daheim or God knows who, or Ryan Hartman, excuse me, to or Foligno in order to open a roster spot for Merit Huznadinov. But at the same time, well, if they're there, they're still in the way regardless. So, like, you're going to play Connor Dewar, right? You don't want to sit him on the bench. I'm not putting Connor Dewar in the popcorn maker. No, that's okay. The press box popcorn maker deal. I'm not doing that with Connor Dewar. No, sir. I'm re-signing Connor Dewar to a three-year extension and trading away one of the older guys if I could. But unfortunately, in this world, I don't know. In this world, the water, the world Bill Guerin lives in, I'm not so sure. But again, I hope the Zach Bogosian signing does mean somebody like Merrill is on his way out. Obviously, Goligoski is. I'm not sure he Goligoski might not play another game other than maybe the final game of this regular season as a farewell. And that would be kind of cool and classy to do. And that's probably when you'll see Goligoski play for sure. And that'll be it at the end of the day. So, yes, Dewar Duhem over Hartman Foligno. Count me in. You'll notice that Hunt has been better and better. We'll talk about him later. Damon Hunt has been better and better in the AHL. And, yeah, that guy needs to be... I think he's an NHL-ready player. I do. It was a bummer seeing him just get scratched and scratched and scratched and scratched and scratched. And then the same thing with Adam Backman. Scratched and... You get the idea. That was irritating beyond belief. I don't know, it's like the whole win now attitude type of thing, and you're not winning though. So what's the point? You're not winning. So enough with the win now. You're not winning. You got your ass handed to you. And you got like stymied and, I don't know, 3-1 to St. Louis. Like, what? Yeah. Let's just look at it very briefly. Really, 3-1 to St. Louis. But John Merrill scored unassisted. Yep, that was a funny situation there. But good for him. Johnny Vibes, as they call him, raising his trade value to at least hopefully cash considerations. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's just you saw the game, right, Mike Zimmer? You saw the game. So, yeah. Fleury, what am I looking at? This is a complete mess up here. That's weird. They're showing Philip Gustafson's numbers from Nashville. Okay, but they're also showing Fleury only facing 26 shots and stopping 24 of them. Fleury's been the better goalie of the two this season. Yep, and Jordan Binnington against the Wild looks like Stanley Cup miracle goalie of 2019. Against everybody else, he looks like, I don't know, Olay? I don't know, he looks like one of those guys. He looks like a matador in the, you know, in the goal crease. But against the Wild, you know, Jordan Binnington's hoisting the cup again, it looks like. And he didn't get the Conn Smythe that year for some reason. But I suppose when you have Ryan O'Reilly on that club, I don't know. I enjoyed that playoff run by St. Louis. I'm not going to lie. Even though they're a bitter division rival dating back to North Star days, not just the Wild. But I like that team. I'm sorry. I did. And then you had the hat-trick game versus San Jose. Yes, yes, yes. And you had Mason Shaw, he came back versus St. Louis, and he was solid. He was a factor. Do you realize the Wild were down 2-0 to the San Jose Sharks? Yeah, they were down 2-0 to the Sharks. Unassisted goals by power play by Mikhail Granlin, and unassisted by shorthanded by Nico Sturm. Seriously? Like, okay. So, but we're still in the hunt, though. You know that, right? We're still in the hunt.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, we're still in the hunt, and we beat the Sharks. We beat the Sharks. We got 2 points. Even the Anthony Duclair goal was like, okay, we're down 3-2 now to the Sharks right out of the gate of the third period. Oh, Lord. And Freddie Goudreau scored his first goal since, I think, yeah, it was his first goal of 2024. You do realize, you know, people get all arrogant. You do realize that it's March already. Yeah, March. March, his first goal since March. He's not a stay-at-home defenseman. He's a forward, you know, a center-type, forward-type of guy, you know, one of those. Anyhow, Mason Shaw, touchdown to Kaprizov, a la, I don't know, somebody other than Kirk Cousins at $35, $40, $50 million a year, playing for the Atlanta Thrashers next year. I know, I'm in a weird mood again. I'm always in a weird mood, aren't I? But it's because this is a funky team, so I'm in a funky mood all the time. Now, Boldy had some good moments. It was the March of Boldy. He did not get multiple goals, but he did get multiple assists. Kirill Kaprizov had multiple goals. And Shaw, again, a great pass, you know. And Kaprizov staying onside just barely. I mean, barely. Like, he almost slid past the line there, but timed it well. And away he went to tie the game up 2-2. And then, ultimately, Kaprizov finishing the game with a hat trick. And, yes, I will absolutely answer the question about the hat, about what I would do with my hat if hat tricks happened. Yeah, you can probably guess, you know, but I'm not going to spoil it yet. That would be in Fan Interaction segment. That's a good question, by the way, Derek. An awesome question. Crease Assist Podcast, I'm guessing that's coming out any... I'm guessing he's waiting for the trade deadline. That's the vibe I'm getting. Yeah, he's doing it like a day early, him being Derek Felsky, and he waited last week as well, didn't release a show. Crease, the Crease Podcast, Crease Assist Podcast. Derek Felska, Teresa Ferries, and Kalisha Townsall, who's been busy of late, I believe. Yes, I believe they're waiting for that trade deadline. But please listen to both of us. Don't just give up on me now, because I'm not as awesome as Derek. Don't give up on me, baby, you know, like the song. Please don't. Jule Eriksson-Ek, 27 assists on the season. Yep, obviously more goals than assists, but that's okay. He's been amazing all year. He might even be the MVP of this team this year, though Kaprizov is, you know, starting to look like the Kaprizov that scored 103 points a few years back. It was 108, excuse me. Amazing season 2 years ago. Amazing season. absolute superstar year. And Kaprizov's looking a lot more like that guy this year, which is wonderful. It does help that somebody isn't sitting on him and giving him terrible groin injuries and such. So that does help. Stay away from the Winnipeg game. You might want to have load management for that one. But no, we don't do that in hockey. That's for basketball players. Load management. But nice little finish, obviously. Kirill Kaprizov has been the best player on the Wild this year. The past month, actually. It was kind of Ek, and then Kaprizov's like, don't forget about me, kind of. So the Mike Modano Award for this episode is Kirill Kaprizov. The James Sheppard Memorial, probably Gustafson. I mean, he got shelled, but it can't just be Gustafson. Just like losing 6-1 to the Predators, it's like a no-show. It's like, let's say it's everybody but Connor Dewar, pretty much, for that Nashville game. What a no-show. What a pile of poop. What a garbage game. Absolute no-show. Yeah, Connor Dewar again against the Sharks. 7 wins, 3 losses in the face-off circle. Notice the trend? He actually wins face-offs. He's getting better. Him being Connor Dewar. And I know you, and you probably already knew who I meant, but I'll say it anyway, because... Yeah. Connor Dewar versus the St. Louis Blues. 7-3. I mean, can we keep Connor Dewar, please? I wish we could, you know? I wish we could get rid of Hartman instead. Please, please, get rid of Hartman, because Foligno's one of the leaders, you know? I mean, you can't do that. That's ripping off a Band-Aid. Well, I'm sorry, that Band-Aid's like falling off on its own. As far as I'm concerned. You know, Band-Aids, when they get wet and they get really old and they fall off on their own? You know what I'm saying? Especially a guy by the name of the guy that wears the captain's C. Talk about a Band-Aid falling off on its own. And I know I'm being very disrespectful in some people's eyes, but I don't know. The last two years are kind of pretty indicative of what's going on with Mr. Spurgeon, in my opinion. It's, you know, the band-aid's coming off in a lot of these veterans, like, and yet we're just keeping them until, you know, until the Wormwood asteroid comes, you know, which, yeah, by that point, maybe we won't have to worry about who's on the Wild anymore, but we'll move on with that. Again, weird week, but a further indication as to it's time to move on with this season. And I know you're not, you know, like, oh, it's like 5 picks higher, but sometimes 5 picks higher is something. It might end up being a lot more than 5 picks higher, rather than even, like, you know, sneaking into the playoffs and getting trounced by whoever, you know, the Dallas Stars again. I'm sick of seeing Jason Robertson kick our butts. Aren't you sick of it? I want to see us kick Jason Robertson's butt. I want to see Boldy and Yurov, Kaprizov, Kuznetsov. Off, yes. I want to see them off the Dallas Stars, if you know what I'm trying to say. Brock Faber. Declan Chrisom, if he continues the trend, he's odd. Connor Dewar. Yeah, I'd like to see him off the Dallas Stars, too. And then the next team after that, and the next team after that. That's what I want to see, rather than getting our butts kicked in the first round by the frickin' Stars. I mean, how can you stand the Stars? How can you stand them? With that said, we'll take a quick break, come back, and preview the upcoming 4 games, but again, 2 of them versus the Arizona Coyotes. Back here on Brave the Wild, segment number 2. So again, we got the 4 games to preview, and of course we're going to get into the prospects. I'll try to keep an eye here for like Russo Watch or whatever the heck we might call it. Unfortunately, the only news locally today, this morning, Carl Anthony Towns has a meniscus injury. Hear about that tomorrow on Timberwolves Explosion. Oh no, please God, say it's not true. Say it ain't so. Anyhow, that was really, good news today, huh? Great news. Okay. With that, though, we're going to jump into DraftKings. We're going to hear from them right here and right now. We know hockey games move fast, at least some teams. But with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. As for some of the quote-unquote, the actual bets tonight, Toronto at Boston? All right. Now that's some hockey right there, money line. Toronto's a plus 120 heading into Boston, who is a minus 142. The Hurricanes and the Canadiens rolls right off your tongue. Montreal plus 250 in Carolina, North Carolina, minus 310 for the Hurricanes. Edmonton, the semi-red-hot Edmonton Oilers, minus 265 at the hosting Columbus Blue Jackets, 215. The red-hot Florida Panthers, I would not mind if they went up and won the Stanley Cup this year. A very competitive Philadelphia team going to Florida, that's a pretty good one. Plus 190 for Philly, minus 230 for the Florida Panthers. Devils and Blues, well, two teams that are struggling. Devils minus 180, they're the host. St. Louis plus 150. Let's look at some others. Classic rivalry. Okay. But these are two teams, though, that aren't going anywhere, at least in my opinion. Pittsburgh, minus 170 at home versus the Washington Capitals, plus 42. Bitter rivals in the past. Stanley Cup final rematch of 2004. Tampa Bay Lightning, minus 155, hosting the Calgary Flames, who are a plus 130 coming into that one. Minnesota Wild at Arizona. Arizona's a plus 124 because they have really been struggling. I mean, like they're just kind of tanking naturally, you know, like the Band-Aid's just coming off on its own, that kind of thing. Minus 148. Canucks and Golden Knights. That's pretty good hockey. It seems like they play all the time, doesn't it? But whatever it is, Golden Knights are the host, minus 115, and Vancouver minus 105. Again, this is the money line. So yeah, we'll move on from there. Yep, some interesting matchups, though, and do check those out on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, of course. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY, which is 467-369. In Connecticut, the Hartford Whaler land, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See code DKNG.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, anyway. All rights reserved. Last week, for some reason, I said 2004. Yeah, well, it's copyright 2024. Not quite that old. No, well, I'm sure DraftKings has been around, but yeah. All right, thank you so much, DraftKings, and God bless you for so many reasons. So on we go to the upcoming games. Thought I heard a train coming. Well, it's somebody else. Arizona's worse than everybody now. They've fallen off the face of the map. 25-32-5. The Wild are 29-27-6. We're above 500. You realize that? That's how being above 500, how little that means nowadays. Like the North Stars in 91 got the brand spanking new book over there. That is the... let me get up here. Oh, my God. That hurt. Sorry. I like to do weird stuff like this, right? Just randomly get up. Okay. Mirage of Destiny. All right. Kevin Allensbach. Thank you, Kevin. Awesome. Doug Schmail. That was a classic name, yep. Yeah, this is the story of the 1990-91 North Stars. When I saw this coming out, was it a month, 2 months ago they were talking about it? Oh, my God. It was ear to ear. Ear to ear. Patrick Roycey. He doesn't even like hockey. Shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. They have him here.
the goofiest, most otherworldly ride we've ever had with a Minnesota sports franchise since the Twins and Vikings made this big league market in 1961.
Yeah, well, it was quite a crazy... God, I just saw an evil face. Can you guess who was an evil face of that team? There's one guy. Well, there's another one that's annoying, but not evil. The evil one is Norm Green. Apparently, he was a jackass the second he got in the door, and people were quitting like crazy. And getting fired like crazy because he was too good for them. Ugh, if that wasn't an early indicator of what we're in for, I don't know what was. Anyhow, Minnesota versus the Arizona Coyotes. Marcus Johansson, lower body. Yeah. Bobby Knight might say heart. But, okay, that's harsh. Meritus Nadinov, visa-related. Matt Zuccarello, personal. All right. He's personally frustrated, I'm sure. Jason Zucker did not play Tuesday, March the 5th, against Chicago. Okay. Travis Boyd expected to miss the rest of the season, according to Craig Morgan of Phoenix Sports. Since that's going way back to early December, no reason, just he's out for the rest of the year. Interesting. All right. Sounds disappointing, I suppose. Minnesota 16th in goals, Arizona 24th. Wild and Arizona are tied in goals at 206, 23rd in the league. Fantastic. Power play, the Wild are 16th. Not too bad. Arizona's 15th, but they've had some talented players. Penalty kill, the Wild are 28th. Arizona 26th. Penalty minutes, the Wild are 29th. Arizona 30th. Funny. Okay, as for the season series, it's been pretty, it's been a roller coaster. January 13th, one of the mini games this year where we said, this is not a freaking playoff team. 6-0 demolition, you know, dumpster fire, whatever the hell you want to call it. And this was in Xcel Energy Center, which resulted in a lot of boos as the final whistle, the final horn, played. The fat lady was singing early and often in that one. 6-0. 6-0. Last time, though, February 14th, happy Valentine's Day, the Wild won 3-1 versus an Arizona team that looks like they've quit on the season. This one is also in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'd like to go there. I'd almost rather go there than Colorado, but let's just say the images sent by Max and Alex, though, in the group chat, on the texting group text, pardon me, gorgeous. I'm a weather person. I love weather. Beautiful roll clouds off in the, you know, off in the distance because, you know, the mountains have effect on that kind of stuff. Roll clouds, that big, big, long cloud that goes on forever. It's mostly harmless. Usually it's at the beginning of a front of some type, though. You know, like a change in temperature or whatever. Well, not just temperature, it's everything, moisture and such. Amazing images, though. And the clouds have been gorgeous here in Minnesota, obviously, the last couple of days as well. Just gorgeous, like orographic clouds. You know, that's the kind of stuff you actually see usually around mountains. So look that up, orographic clouds. And you'll be like, oh, huh, wow. So, yes. Yes, I take weather pictures a lot. Joey's Weather Spy photos. Instagram and Facebook, anyway. And then the season wraps up. The season series wraps up, yes, on Tuesday, March the 12th. Maybe Meritus Nadinov will be skating with the Minnesota Wild. I'm pretty sure he's not skating with the Wild tonight. In fact, I'd be flat shocked. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Michael Russo said, yeah, that's probably pretty much the target game for who's going to have to be skating with Minnesota coming up. Why did I go here? Oh, yeah. I'm kind of doing a quick Russo watch just in case. Again, the only ESPN news floating around is, Karl-Anthony Towns' meniscus. That is just really bad news, let me tell you. I mean, that's bad. That's really bad. Looks like nothing is immediate. Other players are moving around. I'm not going to get too heavy into that. Maybe next week's show. Yeah, damn it. Who's the Dinoff? U.S. work visa has been issued. I'm told this is 47 minutes ago. Yep. Good. Okay, so Russo watch. Merit, who's the Dinoff's USA? A U.S. work visa has been issued, I'm told. He will fly all day tomorrow and arrive in Minnesota tomorrow night. Assuming the Minnesota Wild still practice Saturday, he'll join the team and likely skate for the first time. Pretty cool. So Saturday, he will be skating with the Minnesota Wild. That would be, again, Meritus Nadinov. A lot of us very excited. And yes, he is a Wild, Minnesota Wild, not an Iowa Wild, obviously, right? I mean, KHL is a pretty good indicator if you're ready for the pros or not, even more so than the AHL. Like, a mediocre AHL player would go to the KHL and probably not do well, put it that way. Arizona is 2-3 in their last five. They had won two in a row before losing to the Blackhawks and had lost a couple in a row before that. Quite a few in a row, actually. It's 4-2 to Montreal. 3-2. Yeah, these are on the road. 4-2 in Montreal. 4-2 in Toronto. Those are losses. At Ottawa, 5-3 win. At Washington, 5-2 win. Hosting the Chicago Blackhawks, 5-2 loss. Wow. Hosting the Chicago Blackhawks, 5-2 loss. But who am I to brag? The Wild are also 2-3, beating Seattle, then losing three in a row with Carolina, Nashville, St. Louis, and beating the Sharks 4-3 after trailing how many times in the game? Three times? It was 1-0, 2-0, and then 3-2 in favor of the Sharks before Kirill Kaprizov went crazy and scored his last two goals. The Wild are going to beat the Arizona Coyotes, though, I think. I think we will. I got a feeling... I don't know what to say. You know, I mean, it's like a weird situation. Maybe we win this one and lose the next one, but maybe it's the other way around. We lose this one and win the next one. I think we're going to split versus Arizona. Like, if you hadn't noticed, it's going to be a 2-2 split for the season series. Maybe there'll be all this wonderful energy with Merit Huznadinov coming to the X. So I say the Wild drop tonight. Let's go that way. The Wild will drop tonight's game it's going to be like a 4-3, 5-3. Kind of a game. I got a crappy feeling. Maybe Gus is not so good or Fleury's not so good, whatever. I mean, they've both been up and down, generally speaking, even though Fleury's been a little more consistent. Most likely guy to score tonight is going to be Alex Goligoski. No, I don't think he's playing. I don't think so. Chrisom. Chrisom's going to score his second goal of the season, but the Wild do not win in a 4-3 type of game. Versus Arizona. So we're actually going to lose to Arizona, which will feel just wonderful, won't it? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe we do sweep Arizona in these upcoming games, but I don't know. I mean, I don't like the way this team has been playing. Colorado, I'm pretty much chalking that up as a loss. Yeah, I think we go 1-3 in this upcoming week. I do. 1-3. Yep, so you lose to Arizona. 4-3. Colorado looks like a 3-1 game, in my opinion. Something like that. 3-1, 3-2, 4-2 with an empty netter, something like that with the Colorado Avalanche. Unfortunately, so Max and Alex, you probably won't see a win, but maybe you will. Chris Wagner, upper body, is a March the 6th. Logan O'Connor, March the 6th, did not play in that game versus Detroit. Valerie Nichushkin, I think I got it. March the 4th, did not play versus Detroit. Okay, so I guess they had back-to-back games versus Detroit or something. Okay, sounds good. Colorado's number one in the league in goals. Number one in the league in goals. 5-2 loss. Number one team in the league offensively. 5-2 loss. Okay, goals against 5-3 loss. 5-3, fine, I'll stick with that one. But it's going to be a higher scoring game, I think. 20th in goals against are the Colorado Avalanche, 7th on the power play, 11th in the penalty kill, 22nd in penalty minutes. The Colorado Avalanche won 3-2 last time. These teams played way, way back on Black Friday. It was a terrible Black Friday because the Timberwolves lost to Sacramento that day as well, if I remember correctly. Lousy Black Friday. Both teams lost. It's like, screw this. Merry Christmas. Yeah, not really. Not yet. But that's the only game the Wild have played Colorado this year. We got March 8th. It's actually my brother's birthday, of course, as well. Thursday, April 4th, and Tuesday, April 9th, coming up. This one is in Colorado, of course. And then the X will be April the 4th, and back to Colorado, April the 9th. The Avalanche are, wow. Well, interesting. These are some interesting scores here. 5-1 win over Dallas. Wow. 5-0 at Chicago. 5-1 loss, though, at Nashville. That's also interesting. 5-0 again versus the Chicago Blackhawks. So 10-0 in two games in a week versus the Chicago Blackhawks. Okay. I mean, it's not that great of a feat, but that's what the Wild should have done if we were actually a good team to the Sharks. Or 5-1, or 4-1, or whatever. 4-0. 7-2 crushing defeat to the, crushing defeat handed to the Detroit Red Wings as of March the 6th. Detroit had been respectable, but they've been kind of up and down. Like, they're better than last year, Like last year, they were first showing signs of possibly playoff time, and then it's like, nah, not this year, I guess. And then now, I don't know. We'll see how Detroit does. I'd like to see them back. For the longest time, just Detroit in the playoffs, it was like, God, not again. Now it's like, oh, that'd be okay. Wild do lose to the Avalanche. The most likely guy to score in the game, Matt Boldy, will score in that one. But a loss. 5-3 loss to the Avalanche. Next, it'll be the Arizona Coyotes again, right? Nope, Nashville. Oh, great. Oh, wonderful. Nashville. Ho-ho, I can't wait. XL Energy Center. But we did beat them once this year, right? Yeah, we won in Nashville 6-1, and then they repaid us with a 6-1 butt-whipping, unfortunately. They also beat us 3-2 on January 25th. Much closer game there. Frustrating loss. As the Wild continue to kind of cough up games. Nashville's 4-1 in their last five. Their only loss recently was to Montreal. That's the most recent game, 4-3. Otherwise, they were on a 6-game, 7-game win streak, I believe, after crushing Colorado. Wow. Anaheim, 4-2 at Anaheim. Ottawa, 4-1. Minnesota, 6-1. Yeah. Colorado, 5-1. And then lost to Montreal. All right. That's why they say, you know, so you better show up every game. No injuries for Nashville. Okay. Roman Josi, guys like that. Obviously, he's a stud. One of the best players in the NHL with 61 points as a defenseman, of course. Philip Forsberg, 64 points. He's on pace for, you know, 80-ish. Ryan O'Reilly having a nice renaissance after a disappointing couple of years. Gustav Nyquist now at 53 points on the season. He's unbelievable. Man, Gustav Nyquist. Tyson Berry, the former Columbus Blue Jacket, just 12 points in 35 games. Unfortunately. But this will also be probably a loss. We're going to come back to that in a momento here. I rudely didn't even look at the Colorado goalies. Yeah, we all know Connor Ingram has 5 shutouts for Arizona, and he's like, you know, up and down. Gorgiev, he's given up almost 3 goals a game. And Severson is right at 90, two saves. So kind of the mediocre, like, outscoring people type of deal, but when it comes to that, like, they outscore people. Their offense is so good, but they just give up goals as well. Soros, a little bit better, 2.85. Save percentage, 0.07 higher, 90.7, and then 2 shutouts on the year with 3 OT losses. Lankinen, no, not so good. And then Askarov, the up-and-comer rookie there, Jesper Wallstedt, has been fantastic in the 2 games he's played in. But, well, we're not going to see him right now, I don't think. Wild lose to Nashville by a final score of 3-2. It's going to be 3-2 again. Maybe the Wild win 3-2 just to be positive, but I don't know. I doubt it. Nashville's playing awesome. They were going to lose to Nashville 3-2, a lower scoring game. The Wild did not win. Unfortunately, it'll be, what, 3 losses in a row. And then we will beat the Arizona Coyotes with Merritt, who's Nadinov, with the Minnesota Wild. Why? Oh, yeah, just go backwards. That's why Arizona isn't there. Just go backwards. Merritt, who's Nadinov, supposedly will be playing for the Minnesota Wild. I think so, because everything's cleared up. So, what's going on? February, that's why. This one will be in the X. I already talked about the injuries and all the other statistics, but the Wild will win this game. 5-2. Merritt, Kuznetsov will be playing for Minnesota, and I figure he will factor in the scoring one way or another. Will he get an assist? Will he score a goal? He scores. Merritt, Kuznetsov will score in his first game as a member of the Minnesota Wild in a 5-2 victory over the Arizona Coyotes. It'll be a nice positive day, at least for one day, against Arizona. The Wild will win the hockey game by a final score of 5-2. Fun stuff. The Wild will win the game. So let's look at Merritt Kuznetsov and other prospects and prospects and all that. Kuznetsov, obviously final statistics in the KHL. He is now an NHL Minnesota Wild player. 20 points. Again, limited action for Sochi and St. Petersburg. They didn't play him and they didn't do anything with him earlier in the season. But 20 points in 49 games, 6 goals, 14 assists. Maybe Kuznetsov gets an assist in the game rather than a goal. But I just got a feeling he's going to score a goal. And I wouldn't be surprised if he got an assist also. But, yeah, he's definitely been more of a playmaker. He had 30 assists last year for St. Petersburg. in 41 points. So that tells you more of a playmaker. Obviously, he's a hell of a skater and a 200-foot player, as they say. Skating is very important if you're a 200-foot player. But, yeah, good defender. Skating is outstanding. He might be the fastest skater on the team. So that's always super wonderful and very important in a prospect, especially a 37th overall pick who, you know, obviously has some value. No matter how you look at it, he has value coming to the Minnesota Wild. So we're very happy to have Merritt Huzadinov as a member of the Minnesota Wild. It's just, for the longest time, it's like, yeah, he'll be here someday. He'll be here someday. Oh, it's his contract's up in 2 weeks. It's like, oh my God. Or like a month or whatever it was when we first started really hearing about it. Because it's like maybe that kind of slipped our minds a little bit. Some of us anyway. Nudge, nudge. And then, yeah, it's wonderful. You feel great to have him on his way over. Him being Merritt Huzadinov, of course. Liam Ogren, as we like to call him, for the Swedish Hockey League. The captain, the master, this guy, that guy. Not for a Swedish Hockey League team, but for the, yeah, we know. 9 goals and 5 assists in 23 games, 14 total points in the actual professional Swedish Hockey League. So, obviously, again, some potential there. We'll see how he continues to develop, and looking forward to seeing what he can do. Maybe as soon, well, the next year or two, we'll see him possibly skating for the Minnesota Wild. Yurov, I think, what is he going to ink? Just like one more year, I think? That's the talk, and it's been kind of back and forth. I think it's just one more year, and we could be talking about Danila Yurov possibly skating later next season for the Minnesota Wild. That would be amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yep, and they are saying, no, that's his contract, 23-24, so... Yeah, but has not been updated yet. His contract. They are not playing anymore. It's all over, folks. He had only 1 assist in 4 playoff games. That's bullshit. Okay, I'm just kidding. Maybe it's still going, though. Yeah, 1 assist in 4 playoff games so far. Otherwise, in the regular season, 62 games, 21 goals, and 28 assists, 49 points. But only 1 assist? Damn it. Last year, it was 11 games and nothing in the playoffs. But think about last year. 6 goals, 6 assists. This is the KHL, folks. 59 games, only 6 goals, 6 assists, 12 points. It's like it's better than nothing, but yeah, just look at the improvement. Almost 50 points in pretty much the same amount of games. Dominated in the MHL, tons of assists. Yeah, a little bit more of a playmaker than a goal scorer, again. But sometimes Kaprizov was like that. Sometimes. 1 assist in 4 freaking playoff games, though. Shoot. Well, that sucks. Can't imagine they did well if that happened. That'd be Metallurg, of course. Metallurg, Magnitogorsk. Magnitogorsk. Did I say it correctly? I freaking hope so, okay? I'm tired of screwing up. It's not cool. So, but Metallurg, Magnitogorsk. Yeah. I hope so. If I screwed up, let me know, okay? I am very sorry about my ignorance about the Russian pronunciation. So, my apologies. Anyhow, sorry. sorry. I don't know. I like imitating people, okay? Just so sue me, dang it. The Iowa Wild. The Iowa Mild. The Iowa lose most of the time Wild. Yeah, they lose most of the time. They do. But Damon Huntsman jumping up. And, yeah. Instead of sitting in the Wild's press box, for Pete's sake. Like, what was the point of that? Just put him in the damn games. Or, I guess, back to Iowa again. Yay, back to Iowa. It's just wonderful. But at least he's kicking some butt there for the most part. Because you know why Damon Hunt's kicking butt? You know why? Nicholas Baton, minus 19. Adam Beckin, minus 14. Ryan O'Rourke, minus 29. Damon Hunt, plus 2. What did I just say? Damon Hunt, plus 2? Yeah. Simon Johansson also minus 16, but it's better than earlier in the season. Wasn't he like in the 20s? And he's up to 16 points down the year, but 54 games to get there. 6 goals, 10 assists. Damon Hunt in only 34 games. That would be 20 less games, of course. 17 points, 2 goals, and 15 assists. The highest scoring defenseman on the Iowa Wild in 20 less games than the second place guy. So Damon Hunt is the most NHL-ready defenseman. At least offensively, but I mean, I think defensively as well. Yeah, defensively as well. And he's only 21 years of age from Brandon, Manitoba. So not too far away, I guess. Beckman's certainly been better. At least he's not a half a point a game guy anymore. He's closer to three fourths a point, we'll say. 16 goals, 13 assists, 29 points in 48 games, and of course he was treated like a popcorn maker when he was up with Minnesota, which is annoying. Damn it! I mean, come on. Well, he'll get his chance. Yeah, he got his chance, all right. He sure did, to practice. He got his chance to practice. Isn't that great? Ryan O'Rourke stuck at 11 points in 53 games. It's been like a forever. Lambos, 12 points in 52 games. It's been forever. Ryan O'Rourke, though, is minus 29. Jeez. I mean, they was looked on as that really solid overall defenseman. Capable of some offense, but more defense than offense. Minus 29. Can't all be just bad luck. But Jesper Valstedt, you know, he's been improving. Obviously, after getting shelled playing the stupid Stars, he struggled in Iowa after that, because that must have been not a good day for him in a lot of ways. 2.81 goals against average. Still not great, but slightly better, kind of climbing back to where it was before, very gradually. As we continue to move forward. What am I hearing? Oh, who knows? I wonder if the technician's going to come for the stove now. Whoops. Yeah, I live in an apartment. I know. It's nothing to brag about. It's really not. It's not at all. Anyhow, we'll continue. We'll see if I can interrupt it or not. I have no idea. Yeah, Caden Bankier. He's with the Iowa Wild, right? Yeah, 13 points, minus 18. 33 games. But, again, he recovered from an injury earlier. Kyle Mostas, I believe. Yep, that's where I thought he was. Iowa Heartlanders, 12 points. He is a defenseman, remember. So 12 points in the ECHL. It's double A. It's double A, trying to build that confidence, improve the overall professional game. Not just hit some home runs, but also catch the ball as well. Improve defensively in the field. You know, okay, I know. You get the idea. It's like baseball, double A. Improving that confidence offensively and defensively and learning the overall pro game. Right? Right? Pavel Novak, 17 points in 29 games. That's not too bad, but I don't know. It's got to get that. Got to start cracking out some home runs a little more, I think, because the talent's there. Pavel Novak's really good. He's only 21 years of age, though, so still time. I can imagine Novak dominating the ECHL, but I'd rather see him dominate the AHL and get to the NHL and be a factor someday. Unfortunately, I think his chances are, you know, so-so. They're just so-so. But it'd be a wonderful story if he made it. Believe me, he lost an entire calendar year with cancer. Cancer and somebody that's like 19, 20 years old? Man, oh man, oh man. Man, oh man, that sucks. Spachik has 8 points for Iowa. Yep, Spachik has 8 points for Iowa. Petrovsky, that's the Slovakian. So you go from Czech to Slovakia. 46 points, and remember, he's a center, so he does have 30 assists to Meredith with 16 goals, but I don't know, kind of about the same as last year, unfortunately, and I don't know, I don't think the team he's on is as good as last year. The Owen Sound attack, he's a minus 13, so it might not just be him taking a step back, it might be the team affecting that as well, so there is always that. Reger Lawrence is the regular season's going to be wrapping up pretty quick here in college hockey, and we start to hope the Gophers can make their run to the national championship, I hope. Pardon me. 21 points, and he is a defenseman. No, he's the right wing. I'm looking at the wrong person here. 10 goals, 11 assists. Again, but yeah, a little bit bigger role there for the Denver Pioneers, who are a threat to win the national championship. I know, I hate it. Hunter Haight, huge week. I think he listened to Brave the Wild, right? Said he was taking a step back this year. Huge week, and he won the MNW Young Guns / MNW Prospects Prospect of the Week. So there you go, Hunter Haight. Congratulations there. Big props to you. 62 points in 61 games, 23 goals, 39 assists. I wanted to give it to Simon Johansson, but Hunter Haight's, well, some people see him as a better prospect. And yeah, I mean, Johansson's not really thought of as much. But, excuse me, he might be one of those, he might have a shot at being an inexpensive third pair, though. So that's not the dumbest idea in the world. Sorry for not fixing those coughs there. What am I thinking? Jimmy Clark, now 10 points for the Gophers in 34 games. He's a left winger at age 19. So plenty of time to develop and get a bigger role going into next season for the future national champion Gophers. Taylen Parker, who was a defenseman for the Moose Jaw Warriors, to 36 points. 36 points, almost at last year's number in 12 less games so far, and he's a plus 17 versus last year's minus 44. Kind of doing a Kyle Masters a little bit, right? Major improvements there. Kyle Masters. I love Kyle Masters. At least for the most part. No, I do. As I try not to cough to death again. Jiminy Christmas. Riley Height. No, let's go to Pionk first. I should have went to Parker even. 16 points, 33 games, half a point a game. Defenseman for University of Minnesota Duluth, who will not be in the tournament. Well, I'm going to say this just for a temporary little nudge. Good riddance. Temporarily. I know they'll be back. And I like them more than a lot of other teams in college hockey. A lot more. For a while, they're my second favorite team. When they started winning and winning and winning, I got sick of them. Kind of like anybody else at times. If it's not your team, you get sick of them. Riley Height, Mr. 100 points. Yep. Not 2 points a game, but still well ahead of, like, way ahead of last year's pace, honestly. 10 less games he has already. 5 more points. Yeah, well, 33 goals, though. Whew, he's got 8 more goals than last year. And almost as many assists. Now 102 is total points, and he's a plus 30 versus a minus 3. Riley Height, well, I want to see what he can do at the next level, but unfortunately he's only, is he 18? It says 18. Yeah, he's about to turn 19 on March 25th, so I'd like to see Mr. Yeah, he looks like Anakin Skywalker, I swear. He does. So don't turn evil on us, okay, Riley? Please don't join the dark side. Stay with us. Be a Jedi. Be a Jedi like you're, well, no, be a Jedi. You are the father, right? Luke Height. No. Yeah. The only helmet you'll be wearing is Minnesota, not that big dark one that with those big eyes and stuff, those big eyepieces that we can't see. Spooky stuff. Yeah, don't be Anakin. God, he looks like him, I swear. He does. Rasmus Kumpalainen with a... I always go with the New Orleans accent. It just... I don't know. I could imagine him playing for like a Southern hockey team for some reason. 25 goals and 22 assists, 42 points. He's gone from a point-a-game guy to a little bit less than a point-a-game, unfortunately. But he is a plus 7 as a center coming in from Lahti, Finland. And he is only 18 years of age in Rasmus Kumpalainen's case. Charlie Strammel, 8 points on the season. Almost as many games as last year and 4 less points. But he is a minus 3 versus a minus 10. Though it does help that you're on a national contender versus a, you know, not very good team. A team that's not a national contender. Coming out of St. Paul, Minnesota. A very large, 6'3", 212 physical center. Who can hopefully be a nice bottom six someday for Minnesota. But, well, he's going to have to earn it. And get a haircut, too. But, no, I know. I tease him about that every week. But who cares about his hair? You know, as long as he goes out and kicks some butt and all of that. Charlie, I hope so. That's all I'm going to say. I hope so. Definitely more composed this year. We had 59 penalty minutes last season, only 20 this year. So that's a sign of growth. But... man, the offensive numbers are not there, unfortunately. And I don't know if we'll see them or not, but I hope so, Charlie. I hope so. 19 years of age, had a birthday back on October 15th, and it is his sophomore year for the Wisconsin Badgers, who are just about wrapping up and heading into the conference tournament and eventually the national champion tournament, because they will be there, whether we like it or not. They will be there. Maybe Charlie's the hero. Who knows? Maybe he is. Crazy things happen sometimes. So with that, we're going to take a quick break and get into the fun, entertaining fan interaction segment. Let's do it. Back here on Brave the Wild. Time to jump into fan interaction as soon as possible here. I believe I got this updated and ready to go. Pardon me. At Brave the Wild is the Twitter account, and it's wonderful to hear from each and every one of you that does get involved with the show. Oh boy, yep. Jumping right out of the gate here with a tough one. Derek is ready to test my knowledge as the, well, knowledge or whatever it is. The the Derek Felska lightning round hath returned, da-da-da-da. So let's open things up here. Who do you have winning the boys' state tournament in Class A and Double A? Hashtag the tourney 2024. And again, whenever you tweet like Derek did or post, whatever they call it, make sure it has hashtag BTWMN. That way I can have it all in one quick column and we're ready to do the show. There's a lot of you I haven't heard from in a while and doggone it, come back. Please, please come back. You bunch of haters. Anyhow, single A. Let's start off with single A. A team I would have loved to see do something. Random draw. New Ulm Eagles crushed by War Road. That sucks. Crushed by War Road. Yeah, it totally sucks. They're the number two team, and New Ulm is just kind of like a throw-in. They got beat 8-1. War Road is in the semifinal. St. Cloud Cathedral defeated Northfield in a random draw as well, 5-1. Hermantown, big surprise here, 6-0 over at Alexandria. They're number one in Class A. Yeah, I know. I believe Matamidi won it last year, didn't they? Didn't they win the whole enchilada last year versus War Road? I do believe they did. It was a great, great, great back-and-forth kind of a game. And they beat Orono 5-2. So there's your Frozen Four in the single A Minnesota State High School Boys Hockey League. It's, oh boy, so it's like, I believe, the defending champion versus, a team that's been a dynasty. And they were not the champion last year, basically. They didn't go all the way last year. This is going to be very interesting. Well, I think the winner of that game is the champion. Matamidi either goes back-to-back, or, well, it'd be an interesting and possible, rematch versus War Road again. Unless my memory's completely messed up, but that's pretty sure that's who it was, right? But unfortunately, I think Hermantown is going to win, and it's going to be St. Cloud Cathedral. St. Cloud Cathedral versus Hermantown, with the Hermantown Club winning their 500th state title. Then you have the Constellation, New Ulm, Northfield, Alexandria, Orono. Go New Ulm, I guess. Obviously, I don't know. I like New Ulm. I have a soft spot for that city. I'd love to see New Ulm do something. They made the tournament, and then, they're a random draw, and then they got splashed. That sucks, but at least they got to the tournament, I guess. Elk River Zimmerman. Interesting. Yep, they're a random draw. This is the Double A. They're in the Double A? This can't be right. Well, this can't be right, can it? That can't be right, lad. Am I looking at this wrong? I must be. Yep, there they are. I was like, where is Edina? It's because it's so shrunk down. Edina will be playing Elk River and Zimmerman. So that's my friend Dave Reinhardt there living in Zimmerman. Edina is going to win that one pretty easily, I got to think. Yeah, but it's going to be similar, unfortunately. Random draw versus Elk River Zimmerman. Grand Rapids versus White Bear Lake, if I ever talk correctly. White Bear Lake, yeah, boy, they're... I don't know. They've always been pretty decent. Grand Rapids 5-4 type of deal. I think I'll go with White Bear Lake playing Edina in the semifinal. Yes, Edina. That's my club. Yes, they're my club. Yes. Okay. Put it this way: they look like the North Stars. Kurt Giles coaches them, and Edina's one of the closer places. It's just south on 100, a little bit here from Golden Valley. And I played in I used to go to a school that was actually owned by the Edina Hornets, and now it is owned by the Edina Hornets, but yeah, it's more, it's 100% Edina now, where back in the day, it was, back in the day, like, we were renting part of it, Maranatha Christian Academy, way back in the day, back into the mid-80s up until 91, then we moved to Minneapolis area, oof, but eventually Brooklyn Park, yeah. Sorry, I'm telling stories here, but I suppose that's part of it. Chanhassen is favored over Rochester Century John Marshall random draw. Will Chanhassen get it done? I'd say go Rochester. I'd love to see them beat Chanhassen. Centennial versus Creighton Durham Hall. Cool, that'd be Joe Maurer, right? That's a random draw. Joe Maurer's club. Centennial versus, I think Rochester. Why do I have a feeling Rochester's going to pull off some crazy upset? I'll probably be wrong. But Centennial versus Rochester. I'm just going to do that for fun. And then Edina versus White Bear Lake. Edina is in the championship game versus Centennial. Centennial. Yep. And Edina wins the state championship for the 950th time. Just like Hermantown. And there you go. I know you're like, really, Joey? Hermantown and Edina? Yeah. Yes, Hermantown and Edina. I was kind of hinting at it last year during the section, sections. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of sticking to my guns, so it'll be fun. It'll be fun regardless. Maybe Edina gets knocked out real early. Who knows? But they're there. They're the number one seed, and I think they win. Yes, it's boring that I'm picking both number one seeds, but when you consider who the number one seeds are, that's the whole point. If the number one seed is Mata Midai, I mean, yeah, they might get it done, but they might not. Apparently, that's Jesse Pierce's school. So good luck to her. We'll see. I'm on Edina's side. Whether I know I'm probably going to be hated, but I've been hated everywhere I go, so I'm used to it. Not literally hated, but disliked, shunned, not very popular at work, in school, wherever. It's how it goes. Not at work, I know. In some ways, I'm loved. Some ways, I'm not. But we'll move on from personal stuff. I apologize. So, yep, that was a interesting and fun conversation. Thank you, Derek, for bringing that up. And M.N. Johan, Class A Cathedral. Ooh, Class A Cathedral. Okay. And then Double A White Bear. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be mad. It's like, I like Edina, but it's not going to kill me if they don't win. You know, that's the thing. I mean, do I have any horse in the game? No. No, not at all. I don't have any nephews or anything playing hockey. I wish they did. Damn it. Like, none of my nieces and nephews played sports. What the heck? Jeez. You know, isn't that lame? It is a little bit. I would actually have an excuse to be more involved. But if I'm unable to be. Here we go. Derek Prelska. The lightning round continues. Lou Nanny said this year's The Tourney, hashtag The Tourney 2024, is his last in the broadcast booth, which probably means he's going to move out of the public eye. I hope not. Well, he'll probably still come on like Barrero and stuff, I think, you know, to talk hockey. He will. He'll still become on the radio, but maybe not be as like up and personal. Yep, that kind of thing. What is your favorite Sweet Lou from the Sioux memory? Ooh, boy. Well, let's see what Morty had to say quick. Lou was GM of the North Stars. I was picking someone up at MSP. When I pulled up to the curb, Lou was standing there. I popped open my trunk, stepped out of my car, and said, "Hello, Mr. Nanny." He proceeds to put his luggage in my trunk. I stopped him, but should not. Good laughs. Yeah, so yeah, he's got a personality, doesn't he? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Thanks, Morty. That was awesome. Yeah, Morty the North Star fan. That's cool. I love having Morty involved. Thank you. I love that he's getting involved with the show. He's responding. Morty says, he thought I was just someone coming from the old Met to pick him up. It was this time of year, and I told him that if he told me where he was coming from, I would give him a ride. He laughed and said he couldn't do that. This was a personal one, but have lots of watching him play. Yep, lots of memories watching him play. That's pretty cool. So you go back quite a bit, huh? That's nice to know, Morty. Cool. For me, well, I met him at the... Was it that Taste of the Wild back about circa 2003? Yeah, it was when the All-Star Game was here. Back in 2003, I was with Mike Holzer. My friend Mike Holzer and his father, Tom Holzer, God rest his soul, unfortunately passed away a few summers back. Tom Holzer, you know, they had season tickets with the Wild forever. I met Governor Tim Pawlenty as well, of all people. I mean, that was crazy timing as we were coming in from the parking ramp. And all that. So, but not long after that, there was an option where you could go meet Lou Nanny downstairs. I'm like, oh wow, I could go meet Lou Nanny. So then I met him. But I wanted to get a card from him first, like he's signing autographs. So I went to one of the card stands and I was able to get a Lou Nanny card. Unfortunately, much to the person's chagrin, that I used a card, but I didn't have any cash. They weren't real thrilled about that, unfortunately, but I tried to get something else, and I couldn't see anything that I specifically wanted at the time, and I don't know, I apologize, it just kind of was what it was. The other guy there was two guys, the other guy's like, oh, it's not a big deal. So I felt a little bad, though. Anyway, got the Lou Nanny card, went down and saw him, and classy guy, you know, all class. He was 100% what he always is, you know, on the radio and on TV, and that deep, deep voice. It's like, hey, hello, and then you're like, thank you so much. And he's like, you're welcome. Yeah, you know, it's a really nice guy. Obviously, I'm kind of a shy person sometimes, especially back then. I was more shy. at the time. But yeah, all class, a good man, and I like his stories. I love his stories when he comes on Barrero. I love his stories when he comes on, he sometimes comes on, at least he used to come on with Mackie and Judd. Some awesome stories, you know, about like the jet and stuff. Was it like he was in a plane crash and survived by the grace of God? It was interesting story. It wasn't like a terrible plane crash, but it was a plane crash. Like they had to, you know, get out of there, that type of thing. But it wasn't, obviously, the plane didn't explode and people didn't die. So thankfully, nothing crazy like that. But all class. I love Lou Nanny very much. And I hope he's with us for a very long time. Obviously, still has his restaurant, Any Dinah. And he, I do believe he'll be calling into Barrero for as long as he can. You know, as long as he still has, as long as he's still healthy and strong like he appears and sounds to be. So, 60 years, though, I mean, I can understand. It's like, that's kind of enough. 60 years is a lot. 60 years. He was still a very young person when he started. You know, he was like, you know, like Declan Chris. Imagine Declan Chisholm, you know, coming on board. Again, coming in from Canada like that. And there he is. And it's like, wow, Declan Chisholm? Really? Yeah, this young defenseman for the Minnesota Wild is going to be color commentating the Minnesota hockey tournament. It's pretty much kind of like that. Anyhow, let's continue. So two very long but fun responses, if you don't mind. I hope you don't mind. Jay Bushy, is the season over now? I would say it kind of is, yeah. Obviously, there's still games to watch regardless. Maybe you can see some prospects and maybe whoever we make a trade for, that type of thing. But yeah, that's the fun part potentially, is obviously getting to see who's Nadinov and maybe somebody else along the way. And it's like, I'm seeing the Wolves in the background. I mean, Carl's still not hurt. Maybe it was just kind of maybe it isn't a terrible injury. Because if it was, they'd be carrying him off the court. So maybe it isn't. Anyhow, back to Derek. And thank you, Jay. That was, it's true, though. I think it's mostly we're going to be keeping an eye on prospects. I don't think they're a playoff team. Derek Felska says, many people were disappointed with the new PS5 game Skull and Bones. What Minnesota Wild player who came in with high expectations disappointed you the most? What video game came in with the highest expectations only to disappoint, in your opinion? Well, I got something. Right now, PS... Okay, yeah. Luckily, it doesn't have to be PS5 because I'm not into PS5 or 4 or even 3. I pretty much stopped at 2. Xbox, I pretty much stopped at the 360. I just kind of... You know, that kind of thing. I'm a retro person, you know, and even those I wasn't planning on getting. I got them when they were used and a little older already. But I'll digress to where I need to be. Yeah, so I'm glad you weren't asking like a modern, what PS5 game would be like. No, video game came in with the high expectations only to disappoint, in my opinion. There's definitely a lot. I would have to say, okay, well... There's two, and they're both for the PS1. Final Fantasy VIII is an opener. Final Fantasy VIII, like, huge expectations, you know, but even 7 was disappointing after Sephiroth killed Aerith. I thought the rest of the game was insanely disappointing. Like, it just turned into kind of a mediocre sci-fi fantasy game, rather than what looked like a storyline that was just going to be unbelievable. So deep and emotional, and just a lot going on, a lot of things to learn. And then they kill the most interesting character in the game, who had a lot to... you thought she had a lot to offer to the storyline, and then it's like, I should have figured when you look at the player's guide and she only had a couple of spells, it's like, wait, what? It didn't make any sense that was an indication. Like, she's not going to be there very long. So that was a huge frickin' appointment. But 8, you know, coming in, you think, okay, this one's going to be really good. You're hoping for it. But then you notice the characters look like Leonardo DiCaprio and, I don't know, Jennifer Love Hewitt or something. And it's like, come on. I'm not looking for some little, you know, Dawson's Creek preppy little game. And that's pretty much what it was. Preppy little love story, you know, with Final Fantasy mixed in. Like, wahoo. It was really not for me at all. Not at all. Yeah, you know, it didn't. That was a massive disappointment. The other one I think that really hurt. I mean, it hurt. It really did. Lunar the Silver Star story complete. Okay, so it's Lunar the Silver Star for Sega CD, and a Mount Rushmore, not only RPG, but video game. a Mount Rushmore video game, Lunar the Silver Star, for Sega CD. Insanely great game. About probably the best soundtrack ever. The storyline was fantastic. The overall gameplay was fantastic. The graphics, the vibe, the overworld music. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then here comes the Silver Star story complete. Oh, yay, better graphics. Oh, all the characters can talk. And they completely changed the soundtrack. But that's not all. They completely changed the entire gameplay. Everything. They turned it into Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, basically. It'd be like going from Final Fantasy 4 or 6 to Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. Oh, but it has voices now and the graphics are better. So? I mean, the graphics weren't even bad on the Sega CD game. They were freaking awesome. They were way beyond any Sega Genesis game at the time, as far as I'm concerned. Freaking awesome game. And you come back with that utter disappointment. That piece of... Ugh. You know, in Final Fantasy, Mystic Quest is a playable, fun, enjoyable game, but it was also exactly what you expected when you bought it, because you put it in and that's what it was. Lunar the Silver Star story complete, you're expecting an improved version of an unbelievable game, and you get a, I don't know, something that looks like it's for, kind of semi for beginners. I mean, the only thing they improved on was Silver Star story complete. Not even the graphics necessarily, but they made Galleon a little bit tougher. I like that. That was the one thing they did. They made Galleon, the final boss, a little tougher. And his quotes were, like, better, I guess. There was just more to him. It was like a deeper version of Galleon. That was the one improvement. Outside of that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Massive disappointment. As for, well, did you mention a player? Okay. What Minnesota Wild player? So what video game came in? So it was two questions. Came in at the highest expectations. Player came in at the high expectations. Disappointed you the most? Probably Charlie Coyle. I mean, all of us kind of saw him as a potential team captain, a top-line center who was a 200-foot player that could maybe be a 30, 40-goal scorer, 80-point, stud for many years. Oh, my God, we gave up Brent Burns. But, man, it was a bummer, and Brent Burns, my God, he really emerged into this awesome player. But then we have the top prospect of the Sharks. This Charlie Coyle has an unbelievably bright future. And it was like he was already on the second line. It was the season opener. And then he got hurt immediately. I forget if it was like a knee injury? I can't remember what it was. I think it was a knee injury of some kind. And then he came back later in the year and he was kind of like a fourth line type of a guy the rest of the year. He was back on the wing and he was mediocre at best. And then, I don't know, it was just such a shame. Like, he looked like he was ready to rock that year. And then that was kind of, after that, at best, he's just kind of, I don't know, no matter what line we put him on, he was what he was, a third line guy. And he's just okay, just decent. Was never going to live up to the hype that we had. Very high expectations and did not live up to them. There's obviously other players we could mention, but for me, he comes to the top, in my opinion. Other people might be like, really? No, yes, really. even Granlund was mildly disappointing, but he had some moments. He definitely was not as good as some of us thought. Like, some of us thought he was Kaprizov-like. Oh my God, he's got a great future, but didn't happen. Obviously, like a pre-Kaprizov. Next, boy, I'm long-winded today, but these are awesome questions, Derek. You are, you're hitting a grand salami here, grand slam. You are at a Minnesota Wild game about five rows from the glass. Kirill Kaprizov gets a natural hat trick. You are wearing your favorite hat. Do you throw it on the ice? Are you ready? Are you ready to hear? No. No, because it's never coming back. It's gone. I've heard people saying, I'm going to go get it back. I don't know how you can you? I don't think you can. No, I'm not throwing it on the ice. No. Like, I look at some of these hats over here. My Atlanta Thrashers hat, anything with North Stars on it. Atlanta Thrashers, excuse me, Atlanta Flames. I'll take the Flames any day. Atlanta Flames hat. There's no way, no way in hell. Hartford Whalers hat, no. It would have to be like an old beat-up thing, but even my old beat-up ones, sometimes I have a lot of memories with, like old Phoenix Suns hat from way back in like 93, 94-ish. No, man. North Stars hat, even that, Even that North Stars Minnesota Wild look. I don't want to throw it on the ice and never see it again. I'd be sad. And I remember some people, it's like, you just bought this hat like today. It's like $30 like 20 years ago. Like, and they threw it on the ice. And it's just like, well, it's cool and everything. You know, that, I forget what player it might have been. Antti Laaksonen maybe got the hat trick. Or Gabrick or whatever way back in the day. And if your hat's gone, you threw it on the ice. For me, that's tough. And then Johan says, I did when he had one last year. That'd be Kaprizov. Loved that hat. Never saw it again. And then hashtag price to pay. Don't think I'll do it again either. We sit 8 rows up behind the net. Never made it over, but could not find it. Oh, it didn't make it over the. Oh, it didn't make it over the glass. Huh, interesting. Yep. Oh, and Derek Velasquez is live. Look at the thrower. I was like, whoops. Didn't go too far. Yep. Jennifer Adams says, yes, but I would try to get it back later. That said, I rarely wear hats. Okay, Jennifer. Cool. She following? Yes, thank you. Tom Hahn says, absolutely not. No reason to. If you want to donate a hat to the homeless shelter, which is where they go. Yep. So, yeah. So, at least it's a donation. Yes. Which is where they go. Walk to the Hockey Lodge and buy one and donate that one. You don't get rid of your favorite hat. I agree, Tom. I agree. I mean, I don't even know if I have an actual favorite. But like any of those that I mentioned, like Hartford, Whalers, like that, any of those could be classified as my favorite hat. But Atlanta Flames, no way. North Stars, no. I can't. I'd be crying. Because you're never getting it back, ever. Especially the Atlanta one. There's no way I'd get that back. So, nope. So, good take. These are some awesome questions. You know, they are. They're fun. Next one. Derek Velska continues. How many games or seasons should a player have with the team before the team honors their time with the club if they return as a member of a different team? It seems like now, if you had a cup of coffee with a team, people want a video tribute. Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. I think that's ridiculous, too. Let's see if Morty says 10. That sounds about right. It should be something like 10, maybe 8. And you have to be like, but if it's like 5 to 8-ish, you have to have been unbelievable. Like, really good. Suter and Parisi, I guess. It's like, You know, Suter leaves such a sour taste in your mouth. I don't know if you want to give him anything. Parisi, kind of the same. Like, those guys were selfish, you know, and it bugs you. Koivu, I guess. It's like, of course. Koivu, you have to, but they even retired it. So enough of the video tribute. He got he got the whole enchilada. And, okay, yeah. That's another debate for another day. I think 10-ish, 10-ish. 5 to, like, 8, like, if you're super good, that kind of thing. Like, you're an integral part to the team. Like, I wouldn't give one to Hartman or Foligno, but they probably would, like, in a heartbeat. They probably would, which is annoying. Looks like that wraps things up. A little bit less this week, but, I mean, Derek was a superstar this week. Absolutely superstar. Some of the other guys, where'd you go? You know, obviously great to hear from Morty, though. And, yeah, glad to hear Tom. So I guess there was more people than I thought. I have nothing to complain about. Just no opening threads, but at least the replies kind of got it going as well. So that did help. So that still counts, obviously, and yeah, that still absolutely counts for the show, and I really appreciate every one of you guys. That's awesome. So, I appreciate everything. So the shout-outs going out to Scott Cavendish, of course, with Minnesota Wild Global, Patrick Turner, Minnesota Wild Nation, MNW Prospects, obviously, Minnesota Wild Young Guns, Pavel Bennett, Justin Bakke. Love you guys so much. Thank you so much. It's so fun. We do a little vote every week. Last week I put in Simon Johansson. I was hoping for him, but you know, just because it's like, man, like we'll probably never see his name on the list again for the the prospect of the week. Probably not. So it's like I have to vote for him. But the other guys did vote for Hunter Haight, and understandable with that one. I really appreciate being a part of things there. Obviously, huge shout-outs, like I mentioned, to the other Facebook pages. Crease and Assist Podcast, of course. Crease and Assist Podcast. Yep. Derek, Teresa, and Kalisha. Awesome show. And hope to hear from, and I put in a couple interactions. There's something coming up, I'm sure, soon from Derek regarding the trade deadline and what we do, what we don't do, and what we're stuck with, that type of stuff, which is kind of like what I sort of talked about today, is more like what we're stuck with. With that said, really hoping you have a wonderful week, and we'll see. If there's anything fairly interesting, I just might jump on tomorrow, Friday or Saturday night, for a quick little special episode with that. Otherwise, next Thursday for sure, one way or another. Final thing, if you could please put a 5-star rating, give Brave the Wild a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other app that allows you to do that. Like it on Twitter, Twitter as well, but also like it on YouTube, as, obviously it's audio form only, basically. But yeah, if you're on there and you happen to use it, either YouTube Music or YouTube itself, like it. That'll kind of help build up some algorithms for the show. So those of you that have, thank you so very much. Anyone that's willing to, please do. Until next week, take care, and we'll see what happens.